There are times when we can lose focus on what is the most important thing, whether it's in a game that we're playing or at work or really in anything else. We can lose focus on what is the key and heart and focus of what we are doing. And then everything else kind of falls in around it. So when we look at our faith, a lot of times we might lose track of why are we Catholic? What is the most important thing about being Catholic? Sometimes we think it might be the community aspect as we come. Sometimes we think it's the rituals. And sometimes we think it might be the moral law, you know, doing right, avoiding wrong. While all of these things are important, I would submit to you that none of them is at the core and heart and center of Catholicism. In fact, St. Paul would agree with me, because he tells us what is of most importance today. I handed on to you as of first importance what I also received. This is the most important thing, so make sure your ears are open. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Then he goes on to talk about all the people that he appeared to. This is the heart. This is the core of our faith. Not the moral life, not the gathering, not the rituals, but Christ died and raised again. And why did he die and rise for us? In order that we could enter into relationship with God. At the heart and core of Catholicism is what God did for us, so that we could be with God. This then has implications in the moral life, that out of love for God, in relationship with God, we avoid doing that which hurts God, the evil. We try to do that which is good and draws us into the heart of God. It has implications for how we relate with one another, calling us into community to pray and to draw each other into a greater relationship with God through our rituals, through our community. Am I excited about this? I wonder. But all of these things are what falls out from that core and center and heart of our faith. This relationship with God. Or as I've said several times before, the heart of the Scripture is that God wants to marry us. He is so head over heels in love with you and with me. Now, that might seem a little trite. Okay, God wants to marry us. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. No. For those of you who are married, or at least were married at one point, think about when you were courting. Think about when you were falling in love. Think about those days and how you couldn't think of anyone else but your beloved. And that's just a reflection, a dim shadow of God's love for you and for me. And so we're called into this relationship. And he's calling us out into the deep. We hear that in the gospel today, where after teaching the crowds, Jesus says to Simon Peter, go out into the deep. Now, of course, Simon is saying, you want us to let down our nets for a catch? You, a carpenter, telling me how to do my fishing job. It's daytime. We're not going to catch anything. You're silly. But just to prove you wrong, we'll let down the nets. Whoa. He knew what that school was. And he draws up. She got it. He draws Peter into relationship with him. He says, go out into the deep. Problem with going into the deep going deep into the relationship with Jesus. The problem that is there, if we're going to come into deep relationship with Jesus, not just surface, but really delving into what is most important, the biggest problem is that we have to face ourselves. And quite frankly, I don't know if you're like me, but if you are, you probably don't like what you see. And you're saying, yeah, Father, we don't like what we see when we see you. That wasn't what I meant. A lot of times we look at ourselves, we reflect on our own souls, and we are very much like Peter, who has been touched by the Lord. And what does he say? Depart from me, O Lord, for I'm a sinful man. You don't want anything to do with me. Thank you for coming to my boat. I appreciate all the fish that you helped me just catch. But you don't know whose boat you're in. The sins that I've committed. You don't know. What's Jesus' response? Oh, if I'd known that, I wouldn't have gotten in this boat. I knew there's something smelled fishy. I am so full of puns tonight. I don't know what I had for dinner. Jesus' response is, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. How can we face ourselves without fear? How can we look into the depths of who we are without cringing, without despising our own misery? Well, I read in a book recently by Cardinal Schoenbrunn, The Joy of Being a Priest. You know, we need to read these things too. He used this analogy, which I thought was so telling. It says, if you have a child who is rejected by his parents, he's going to hide whenever he makes a mistake. He's not going to want to show anything for fear of increasing that rejection and being abandoned. But if you have a child who is deeply loved, and she knows that she is deeply loved, and that her parents love her more than she can grasp, she's not afraid to go to her parents and tell her what she has done wrong. Because you see, she knows that she'll still be embraced, still be loved. Because her worth to her parents is not when she does everything right and avoids everything wrong, but because she's their daughter. And when we experience God only as judge out there, we have this idea that he's going to reject us if we do something wrong. We'll never be able to face ourselves. But when we trust in his mercy, when we realize the truth that there's nothing that I can do that will make God love me any less. There's nothing I can do that can make God love me any less. Nothing. When we come to realize that, we don't have to be afraid anymore to face ourselves. Because we know our worth doesn't come from our actions, but from our being. From our being God's beloved sons and daughters.